The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "For it is if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and trusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one who had the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take this talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. My mother is the most patient person I have ever met in my entire life. If I didn't know it before, the patience that she shows as she cares for my father who has Alzheimer's disease really makes it obvious. I mean, he asks the same questions hundreds of times in the same day, and she patiently answers it over and over and over again. But this isn't just something that has popped up in her older age. She's always been this patient. I mean, first of all, she was a middle school teacher. And if you've ever dealt with middle school, the hormonally challenged of this world, you know that you have to have a lot of patience. And when you're raising a child with attention deficit disorder, you have to have all the more patience. But now, as patient as she was, I do remember a handful of times when she absolutely lost it. One time in particular I will never forget was when I was assigned to do a science fair project. Now, we were assigned this project in January, and I remember getting the assignment and sitting at my desk with all these visions of grandeur. I was going to have the most incredible science fair project the world had ever seen. I was going to invent the flying car or replace gasoline with, I don't know, like corn stalks or something. I was going to do something amazing. But I couldn't decide what I wanted to do, so I didn't start on it initially. In the first month, or the second month, or the third month. So it was due around end of April, May. So for the sake of the story, we'll say April the 30th. So on April the 29th, my mother, who by the way was a middle school science teacher, which I was in the 8th grade. She was at another school, but she knew that the science fair stuff was coming due. So on the 29th, she just happened to ask, "So how's your science fair project going?" "I haven't started." And this patient, loving woman lost her stuff right there. I don't think she's ever been so angry at me in her entire life before that or since then. Because I had 5 months to work on this. And not only had I not done anything then, when she asked me the question, the night before it was due, I was sitting on the couch watching television and it was 7 o'clock. Needless to say, I had put it off and put it off and put it off. And as I look back, I got to wonder, why was she so angry? Was she angry because I was just sitting there not doing my schoolwork? Maybe. Was she angry because I wasn't going to have the best of the best? Probably not. I think what she was really angry with was the reality that I had failed to live up to my potential. I had missed an opportunity to do something great. At the very least, I'd missed an opportunity to make an A. And so, by putting this off, I ended up disappointing my mother and infuriating her. But I also ended up missing an opportunity. Now, I know that some of you would never procrastinate anything. You're called the 1%. And that's the 1% who isn't honest with themselves. So, I mean, the truth is we all put certain things off from time to time. Some people do it more often than others, and some people are better at it than others. But everybody puts some things off because eventually there's going to be something that you really don't want to do for one reason or another. And so you let it sit on the shelf for a little while. And eventually you might get around to it, or it might catch up with you like it did with me, and it's too late, and you've missed an opportunity. And do you know why we do that? I mean, being the ADD person that I am, I've done a lot of research on time management and things like that, and procrastination in particular, and time again, there's one word that pops up: fear. According to most psychologists, the reason that we put things off is fear. Fear of failure, fear of success, or fear of change. We put it off because we're afraid that if we try, we might not succeed. Or we put it off because we think if we do succeed, well, then people might expect more of us. Or if we do it and succeed, things may change. And so we're frozen by this fear, and we just sort of stay in place. I mean, you've all heard of the fight or flight mechanism that's inborn in all of us. The truth is now, psychologists say, it's flight, fight, or freeze, where we do nothing. Because fear keeps us in place, keeps us from moving. Well, that's kind of what we heard about in today's gospel reading, isn't it? Jesus tells a parable of a master that goes away, and he makes his servants in charge of stuff. He gives one of them 5 talents, another one 2, another one 1. And then he goes off for a very long time. Well, the one with 5 talents went off, and he traded and made 5 more. Same way with the one with 2. He went off, did some things, made 2 talents. But then there was the guy with 1 talent, and he was, you know, afraid. So he dug a hole, put the talent in the ground, covered it back up, and waited for his master to come home. But when the master got back, he was settling up accounts. And the one with 5 had made 5 more, and the master was so excited. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. The one with 2 came with 2 more talents. Well done, good and trustworthy servant. I have put you in charge of a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, enter into the joy of your master. Then he went to the 3rd one. And he came, you know, I guess he cleaned off the jar or whatever that he had buried it in and said, "Here, I brought it back to you." What? That guy made 5, the other guy made 2, and you're just giving me what I already had? And he goes, "Well, you know, I was afraid." He was frozen by fear. Because apparently his concept of the master was that this master would take what wasn't his and basically bulldoze over everybody. And so he was so frozen by that fear, he did nothing. Master was irate because his servant had missed an opportunity. At the very least, he could have put it in the bank and gotten interest. But instead, he was so frozen that he did nothing. He just let it sit there. How often are we frozen by our fears? Because see, we, like these servants, have been given gifts. Now, the gifts that we've been given, just like the servants in this parable, don't belong to us. Those 5 talents, the 2 talents, the 1 talent, they were the master's talents the whole time. Just like everything that we have belongs to God. It's all God's. but we are trusted to deal with it. And see, here's the amazing thing. This is one thing that we often don't talk about in this parable. We are trusted. Everything that you have, your money, your relationships, your talents, your time, your treasure, everything you have is on loan from God. It's all God's, and He trusts you with it. He says, you know, hey, I love my child, and I'm trusting them with this. You are a trusted child of God. You've been given gifts to use for the sake of the common good. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, to each is given a manifestation for the common good. So everything you have, whether it be your time, your talent, your treasure, yes, that's money, has been given to you for the common good, to make the world a better place. And you've been trusted to do that. That's pretty amazing that the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, trust people like you and me. I mean, doesn't He know us? But still, we're trusted with this. And what are we going to do with it? Now, see, I know what some of you may be thinking right now. Well, I haven't been trusted with much, like the one talent. It's no wonder that the guy with one talent dug a hole, right? I mean, he only had one talent. He had a much bigger risk. If the guy with the five had lost one talent, he'd still have four more to work with. But this guy, he only had one talent, right? Okay, sure. But in today's dollars, that's $1.1 million. That's a lot of cash, folks. It's not like he was trusted with just a little bit. Yeah, he got less than everybody else, but he still had $1.1 million. But that's, you know, okay, maybe that's a little inflated. In today's dollars, if you make minimum wage, it's $358,000. You think you might be able to do something with that? I mean, that would earn some interest, wouldn't it, if you just put it in the bank? And all the master wanted is for you to be able to take a risk with what he's already given you. But see, that's the problem. When we have a scarcity, when we don't feel like we have enough, we get afraid. And we hold on to what we have because we're so worried about losing it. We are trusted, but are we trustworthy? Because see, when we look at what we have and we start believing that it's ours, we're not being trustworthy. When we go out and squander it, we're not being trustworthy. When we dig a hole because we're afraid of what might happen, that we might lose it, we're not being trustworthy. And we're not being trustworthy because we're afraid. And the opposite of fear is trust. We don't trust God. And we do that as individuals, don't we? I mean, we look at the money we have and we're afraid, you know, I would give more to the church or to charity, but you know what? I may not have enough for me. Or, well, you know, I may use the gifts that I have in ministry, but I probably need to spend my time doing this over here because, you know, I'd hate to run out of time or I'd hate for somebody to think that I'm a religious nut. And so when we have a scarcity, we begin to sort of circle the wagons. And we not only do that as individuals, we also do it congregationally. There's congregations all over the place that do this. And the less they have, the more worried they get. They circle the wagons, and then they stop doing ministry. I mean, today we have a congregational meeting. And by the way, it's pretty much all, at least Lutheran churches all over the place are having them within the next month. And trust me, I have sat through enough congregational meetings in different churches to know this to be true. Because when we talk about the budget, we look at the years given and we start to look at that and we worry, well, we're not getting in enough and we're not, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We're trusted. Are we being trustworthy? Are we trusting God in return? That God will take care of our scarcity and God will provide us with enough to do whatever it is that we're being called to do. With whatever we have, God trusts us to make the world a better place. God trusts Pisgah Lutheran Church to make Lexington, to make South Carolina, to make this earth better than it is. We have a particular mission. And in order to do that, we as individuals have to trust God and return to God what he has loaned to us. And then collectively, we have to trust that we will take care of what we've been given by God and by our members to do what we're being called to do. That's what it means to be Christians, and that's what it means to be the church. Because when we put our gifts together as one, that's when amazing things happen. But we cannot dig a hole and put our ministry in the sand. We cannot be frozen by fear or scarcity, because this year has brought a lot of fear for a lot of different reasons, hasn't it? I mean, now we have a camera shining out there, and clearly there's a lot of blank spaces intentionally in the pews. And that worries us. It worries me. But at the same time, we have to trust. We have to trust that God still has a plan for us individually. God still has a plan for us as a congregation. God still has a plan for his church. And we must seek out that plan and trust that we'll be able to succeed. Yes, it'll be a risk. But that's what the guy with 5 talents took. That's what the guy with 2 talents took. And that's what the one with the 1 talent didn't. Because he was afraid. We are called not to live in fear, my friends. We are called to trust. Because we are trustworthy. We are trusted. Now we must be trustworthy with all the gifts that God has given to us. Amen.